Okay, back to Makkah B'Patish. Okay, let's get to some practical things over here. Okay, bending things back into shape, you're not allowed to. You can bend a piece of metal, a hook, a key, and so on. So that is an interesting question in Halacha. You know, they have these wind-up swings for kids. Wind-up swings, you know, you wind them up and they start going and making noise. Huh? Not the cars. So anyway, there's a whole argument in Halacha if you're allowed to wind up those wind spring, automatic swings on Shabbos. Our opinion is you can't. There are other opinions, though, that say you could because it's made for that. It's basically similar to winding a watch. If you hold, you can wind a watch, then you can hold, you wind this. If you hold, you shouldn't wind the watch, then you shouldn't wind up the swing, especially it makes music, it makes noise. But bottom line is, many people say it's not a shaila of fixing because that's the normal way of doing it. And other people say, no, you really shouldn't do it. No, I'm saying if it stopped. Yeah. While a watch is working to wind it more, right. Many opinions say it's not an issue because you're not fixing it. It's working. That's what he said. Remember those self-winding watches? Right. Okay. So then everybody writes, the poskim that dealt with it, if it's working before Shabbos and you have enough, if you put down the watch, you would have enough winding for 24 hours, then you could wear my Shabbos even though you're winding it because you're not doing anything. You're not gaining anything by winding the watch. Okay, shaking down a thermometer doesn't apply today because digital thermometers you can't use on Shabbos. But the years ago, the mercury thermometers, you can shake it down to get back to where it was. Rust, you cannot remove rust from a vessel utensil on Shabbos because that's like fixing it because it's not good with rust and now you're making it usable. Now you have like this. What happens, many times you have tables that you can open up the table and put in a leaf or two into the table. So now the shail is, let's say Shabbos morning, you have the table's normal size and you're having a lot of guests. And on Shabbos, you want to make the table bigger. So then the halacha is you're allowed to put it in. Because again, you're not fixing the table. It's the normal usage of the table to put in the leaf, take out the leaf. And all those types of things, even though, by the way, it means sometimes they come with a peg, and when you're close, that's not an issue. Everybody says you're allowed to add a leaf to a table because basically it's usage of it. It's not actually doing anything with it. Now, what happens if there was a seat cushion tied to a chair? It's attached to a chair. This could be practically in shul. Yeah, what happens if it came apart on Shabbos? So you can't put it right. You can't even put it back even loosely because now you're fixing it. When it came apart, in other words, if it wasn't something that's attached to the chair, just, you know, put it on and off, that's not an issue. You can put it on and off. But if it's something that was attached, like by strings or whatever, so then when you want to put it back, you can't put it back even if you do it loosely. No, you can pick it up. What? Velcro onto the chair? Probably not, because you're fixing the chair. Just to put it on. No, 1 minute. Just to put it onto the chair shouldn't be an issue. You can't tie it onto the chair even loosely.
That's very temporary.
But Velcro.
It always comes out.
Yeah. So again, there are many people that are mako because it's Velcro is something. But Chlal, we discussed this already when we were learning about sewing, that Velcro is allowed to use in Shabbos. Why isn't it sewing? But it's connecting. It's why is it not gluing? Because it's made. It's made to open and close. And in fact, it doesn't even attach. Actually, the things go into each other, and that's what holds it. It's not actually even gluing. It's just things go into each other, just very small ones, and that's what holds it. So that shouldn't be a problem with Velcro. If it's made, but if it's there like on a permanent basis and it falls apart, then you shouldn't put it back on Shabbos. Now, for instance, opening a playpen, folding bed, folding table, or sometimes you have a pack and play crib, You know, all of a sudden, the people are coming over to the bay, kids are coming over to sleep Shabbos, and you need to pay at the crib. So if it's a permanent crib, you can't assemble that on Shabbos. That's a given. But if it's a folding crib, like a pack and play, or all those things, because, what are you laughing at? No, it's not. But the bottom line, it's made for that. So you're not fixed. When somebody puts on, opens up the pack and play or folding table, nobody says, oh, I just fixed the table. Like these tables, they're made to fold and to put up. So that's not an issue. Even a folding bed. You know, you have an extra guest and now you have a folding bed. You're allowed to open the folding bed and Shabbos, you can close it. Folding, yeah. Even a sofa that comes out into a bed. That you're allowed to do because, again, it's made for that purpose. Now, what happens if a drawer comes out?
All the way out.
So if it's a small, less than 20 cubic feet, which is memsa, so then you're allowed to put it back in. Not a sliding door, just a drawer, because a sliding door that came off the hooks, that you cannot fix it. Off the track. So then you're talking about to fix it on Shabbos. That's official. It could be a shiloh also of Bainer. It could be because you're putting it into the building. Now it's loose and now you're putting it into a permanent building. So that could also be forbidden. But if it's a small desk and it's made to go in and out, so then it's not. You can't put it in for the first time. In other words, what happens? You got a desk delivered Friday and Shabbos, you want to put the drawers into the desk, that the first time you can't do it because that's actually assembling the desk and that's makabit patish, which would be forbidden. Or if a wheel falls off a carriage, or one of the reasons why most opinions say you're not allowed to ride a bike on Shabbos is because the chain might fall off and you'll put it back on and that's fixing on Shabbos. A tricycle, you know, the three-wheel one for little kids, that is not a problem because there's no chains. And not only that, you can't deflate the tires. The old shiloh would be, what happens if you have a bicycle and the air comes out on Shabbos?
And that's a problem.
Would you be allowed to repair it? So according to what we learned the other day, if it's already put, like the balloon, right? We said, you could, or a ball. So if it was already inserted, if inflated before Shabbos, so then that wouldn't be a big problem of deflating it on Shabbos because it was already inflated before Shabbos. It came deflated, now you're inflating it again. But if it would be for the first time, your taka wouldn't be able to do it. But putting on a wheel, attaching a wheel or a chain, it doesn't matter. A scooter, a baby carrier, whatever. Whatever it may be, you can't put it back on. What?
You might stop, you might put the blinker on, he might
do
a thousand things because I'm there.
Or can you wave them by?
Just tell him to go.
Before waving by, I'm going to go even before you, which is before him. There's cars going, there's no lights, okay? Now you put your foot in, you walk into the walkway. You step onto the street. Now the cars have to stop.
Yes.
No. Am I allowed to do that? If cars are coming, am I allowed to walk into the street? Because it's going to cause cars to stop. And in Jewish neighborhoods, the likelihood of a Jew driving the car is pretty high. Meanwhile, until they do tshuva.
That's different.
Why?
Because
are you causing them to stop? Causing them to stop?
Yes.
Are you allowed to cause... is stopping, turning on the brake lights and this, that whole thing?
You're not doing it. The law tells them to.
Oh. So the answer is, they're not stopping for you.
Person.
They're stopping because the law says when there's a pedestrian in the street, you have to stop.
Right.
They're not stopping for you. You are not causing them to stop. The law is causing them to stop. You're allowed to walk in the street. Now... So what? But you're not doing anything now. The shaila is, if this used to happen, now everybody has Waze and Google Maps or whatever. Years ago, it was very common. You're walking to Shul on Shabbos. It happened to us many times. You're walking to Shul on Shabbos, a car stops by. Which is the way to temple, whatever? So obviously, the. That would be nice. They're not interested in that. Now they want to know directions. Okay? So now the shailas, are you allowed to tell them? So the question is, if you don't tell them, will they find out anyway? They'll find out from the next person. So it's not really a big, it's not a big issue. I'm not saying it's a mitzvah to do, but it's not really a big issue because they would be able to find it out without you. Okay? The question is, can you walk in the street and go like this?
You don't want to get hit.
Then you're telling him to stop. That might be a bigger shaila because you're asking him to. No, really. So then it might be a shaila because then you're actually telling him to stop on Shabbos. But like this, if they stop because they have to stop, it's not an issue. Well, what did you ask though? You asked.
Yeah, that's it. They see me, and because.
Oh, now so they're asking directions or that, or can you wait? Like you say, can you wave a car on? I mean, he's driving anyway. You're just not, he's not just not stopping.
Right,
but you're not doing anything because of you.
If he sees me and he stops.
He's scared of you.
He's a guy, he's a person.
He's stopping to ask you directions or he's stopping to offer you a lift?
He's stopping to ask me directions.
Again, because he'll find out anyway, what are you going to do?
Okay. Walk there, just telling him where someplace is.
Yeah, but you know what he's doing. He's not asking you to get out of the car and walk.
If you invite him to Shabbos,
But you give him the directions.
Is that different than
you can give him directions?
Is that different than serving bread for people who didn't sound mutsi?
That's a question. The difference is if you sell it to them or if you give it to them as a gift. So I told you, can a bakery sell bread to somebody who then you know is not going to wash and bench? So there's tshuvas, there's a tshuva machne chayim, there's a lot of tshuvas all over about this. And many poskim write that if you sell something, you're not helping them sin because they can get it from somewhere else. If it's a gift, then it might be a bigger shayla. So if you have a guest in your house, okay, but you have to have a little common sense also, which is very uncommon. You have a guest in your house that's obnoxious, okay? A family member, usually they're the ones that are obnoxious. You serve them challah at the table. They're here in your house for Shabbos. You serve them, I'm not washing. So what are you going to take away the bread from him?
No.
I'm asking, what are you going to do? Take away the bread? You put it on the table. As far as you're concerned, you could go wash. I mean, you know.
No, you don't can it. The others that wash you.
I'm saying that, no, the bread's on the table, whatever.
What?
In the car, sometimes the driver. Paying attention, and he wants to stop. He doesn't
want to
hit someone.
No.
You get their attention to make sure.
Then it's because it should be a shot. Because nefesh, then you would be allowed to.
I mean, you could wait until.
Okay, so then if you see that, but how are you going to see if the guy's distracted or not?
They're looking one way and they're turning this way.
If you're certain, then.
So what choice do you have? You can't press the button, for example. You need to jaywalk for as an example because you can't press the walk.
Right. Now it's not so bad because of COVID, the lights change. Over here where I live and the block over there, if there's no car, no person walking, the light doesn't change. Now it does because of COVID. One good thing came from COVID. But otherwise, the lights don't change.
So someone goes across and you cause them to stop.
It's not you're causing it. They're stopping because the law tells them to stop.
That's, no, the law doesn't tell them. It's green for them.
No. Yeah, but you know, according to law, even if the light's green and a pedestrian puts his foot down, they have to stop.
If they see you,
if they're looking. If they're texting, they're not going to see anything.
Right.
And what happens is non-stop cars coming?
It's only the time.
Yeah? What happens here, driving to shul, and it's almost shkia, like people come mamish a minute or two after shkia, and they're driving to shul Friday afternoon, they're going to wait longer, they're going to be real mechal Shabbos. As it is, they're mechal Shabbos, but there'll be more mechal Shabbos.